Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Benton Harbor, Michigan, earned a Bachelor of Science degree in Criminal Justice Law Enforcement Administration from Wayne State University. In 1994, he joined the Detroit Police Department as a patrol officer and has served as inspector captain, commander, deputy chief, assistant chief, and eventually first assistant to the Detroit Police Department. From 2021 to 2024, he was deputy mayor of Detroit. And since February, he's been the chief of police for the Detroit Police Department. His name? Chief Todd Bettison. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're with a phenomenal human being. A great story that with God, anything is possible. His name, Chief Todd Bettison. Chief, welcome. An honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack. It's such a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
Can you start by leading us in an opening prayer, please?
Absolutely. Lord Jesus Christ, my prayer is for the city of Detroit. As a public servant, as the chief of police, help guide me and ensure that I provide the best public safety possible for all of my residents, visitors, and everyone. And not only the city of Detroit, all of our children, our seniors, and everybody else, but our suburban residents, and also the whole southeastern Michigan and the whole great state of Michigan, because we are one Detroit under God. Thank you so much. Amen. Thank you, Jack, for allowing me that opportunity.
All right, let's go back to Benton Harbor. Childhood, mom and dad, please.
Yes, Benton Harbor, Michigan. Great place. Southwestern part of the state. Great people over there. Beautiful beaches. And my mother actually was a Detroit school teacher and graduated from Wayne State and did 28 years teaching in the city of Detroit. But I was actually raised by my grandparents. And my grandmother worked at the Berrien County Juvenile Center. Her name was Evelyn Bettison. And I would say that she was the disciplinarian. She ensured that she provided that leadership, that guidance. And I attribute a lot of my success to my grandmother. I mean, I grew up in a rough part of town, 600 block of Broadway. And my grandmother made sure, along with my grandfather as well, and uncles and just everyone, that things were good. And I actually went to a Catholic school. My mother, because she valued education so much, she wanted me to have a great education. And so I actually went to a school over in St. Joseph, Michigan, across the bridge. It was called Lake Michigan Catholic. And so, it was just a great time.
How did you get from Benton Harbor to Detroit as a teenager?
So my mother was in Detroit, living right downtown on Washington Boulevard at the Trolley Plaza, and she graduated and had got her master's degree from Wayne State. And so when it was time for me to go to college, I told my mother I wanted to go to a HBCU, a historical black college or university. And so my mother said, I have one for you, and it's called Wayne State. And so I ended up at Wayne State, 17 years old, moved in with mom, and it was just great.
How was it, or when did you realize you wanted to be having a career in law enforcement?
At first, I wanted to be a school teacher. And so, you know, as a young person, you really don't know exactly what it is. And I remember being accepted into the College of Education at Wayne State, and my great uncle, Uncle Albert, who lived in Detroit on Holcomb Street. And like I said, he was my great uncle. So he was in his 80s, 85. And I remember telling Uncle Albert I was going to be a school teacher. And he was like, nah, my mother was a school teacher way, way long time ago. I see something else for you. He's like, I really would like you to be a lawyer or I want you to be in law enforcement. And because back then it was just something that, you know, blacks couldn't do when he came up. You know, they had to join the Detroit Police Department. They had a certain height requirement and they had various restrictions. And so he really urged me to go towards the path of law enforcement. And I talked to my mother, and my mother was like, I don't really want you to be a teacher. I really prefer law enforcement. Or so I changed my major to criminal justice. And while taking a Police in America course, I ran into a young man by the name of Joe Hutchison, who was a Detroit police officer. He was in his uniform. And we had a conversation. And from there, I went down to 2110 Park to sign up. And got recruited and ended up, they hired me. And that started my career in law enforcement.
That was 1994. The first job within the police department, what was it and where was it?
Patrol. I started out just like anybody else. And so the chief of police, as I sit now, I started out as a rookie police officer on the east side of Detroit, working the streets in the 9th Precinct. And I was with a unit called Eastern Precinct Support. So we responded to the most violent of the calls, so a priority one call. So anything that was happening, they would move us from the 9th Precinct to the 11th Precinct, where it was really hot. And so very quickly, I got an opportunity to do everything that folks hear about. So whether it was high-speed pursuits, whether it was actually apprehending armed robbery suspects, chasing people down for CCW. And when I say chasing people down, I mean my scout car partner would pull up and investigate the guys, and they would take off running. And it was, you know, I got a chance to deal with a lot of domestic violence calls. And those are the most dangerous for police officers. Within like 4 days of being out the academy, I was involved responding to a domestic violence run, and the subject just opened the door and started firing shots at me. And by the grace of God, not one bullet hit me. But I don't know how he missed. My partner ended up shooting the suspect. Thank God the suspect didn't die. And he was a young man. But what was interesting about that is the young lady who he was beating on, when my partner shot him, of course, she came out and said, y'all shot my man, y'all shot my man. And we was able to get medical aid, you know, first EMS responded, ASAP, got there and was able to save his life. And It just really highlights the things that you see as an officer in law enforcement. But like I tell all officers and for folks who have done the job, you have nothing is routine. It can go from hot to cold really, really quickly. But the best part about the job is being able to provide that public safety and remembering that even though you're seeing people at their worst moments, you're making a tremendous difference. And that's what it's really all about, Jack.
We're talking to Chief Todd Bettison, and I'm Jack Rasula. And this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Chief Todd Bettison. He's the Chief of Police for the Detroit Police Department. All right. For 8 years, our mayor was Dennis Archer. Talk about Mayor Archer.
Mayor Archer was the mayor when I joined the department in 1994. And so Mayor Archer had just got elected. And I remember Mayor Archer really as a visionary, a lawyer, smart. And he was the first mayor after Coleman Young. So it was a complete difference. It was a transformation. And It was refreshing to have just change, and for me coming into the department, being able to see him lead the city. And so he did some great things as mayor. It was just a good time. I remember one incident where with the Angels Night and being able to take where the city used to would burn back in the day. And where it was coined Devil's Night, but I believe Dennis Archer coined it from Devil's Night to actually Angel's Night, where the day before Halloween, the individuals, for whatever reason, would set houses on fire. And so at one point, you know, during the bad years, it was 800 houses that would go up. And, you know, right now, of course, it's been completely transformed from Devil's Night. But I credit Dennis Archer with taking it to Angel's Night and actually having the largest volunteer force out there to ensure the safety of the city. So he invested in public safety as a mayor, and he was definitely a good mayor. And my good friend Ike McKinnon was the police chief. That's what Dennis Archer did, brought him in as an excellent police chief. And my mentor, who I worked directly for, was Benny Napoleon. And so I had a front row seat by being executive protection for Benny Napoleon, being close to Ike McKinnon, and having an opportunity to visit and see Mayor Archer do great things for the city of Detroit firsthand over there at the Manoogian Mansion.
Dennis Archer earned his law degree at night while teaching handicapped kids in Detroit public schools. He was the mayor for 8 years, and he became the first African-American president of the American Bar Association. All right, another mayor that achieved quite a bit, Dave Bing, please.
Yes, Dave Bing, just a phenomenal human being. He still gives back. Right now, he has an organization that mentors young black boys. And, of course, we know him for his basketball, you know, being a Hall of Famer. His jersey is still hanging there at Little Caesars Arena. But Dave Bing was another supportive mayor, really supported the department. And I just can't say enough positive stuff about Dave Bing and really leading the city at a time, stepping up when it was going through the historic bankruptcy. But even during those tough years, you know, coming in to take that mantle of leadership. And ultimately, we did get an emergency manager. But for the 4 years that Dave Bing were in office, he guided us and kept us afloat during some of the toughest times in the city of Detroit. So I thank Dave Bing for his leadership and for leading us and ultimately laying a foundation to help get us to where we are today, because all of the mayors were great and they did their part.
You and I met through a man, Darryl Woods. Chief, I've had over 1,000 guests, and I believe that Darryl Woods was one of the 10 best I've ever met in my life. Met him through Mitch Albom. You met Darryl Woods in prison in the late 90s. Tell us about Darryl Woods.
Darryl Woods, when I met Darryl Woods, I was a lieutenant on the Detroit Police Department and always have worked very closely with the community and trying to figure out how to bridge the gap between law enforcement and community. And it led me to Ryan Correctional Facility. It was a individual in there who was leading a program where judges, juvenile judges, were actually sentencing juvenile delinquents to this program that was led by Darryl Woods inside of Ryan Correctional Facility. But what was so unique about it, these juveniles actually came from the state of Ohio. I couldn't believe it. And so they were there in Darryl Woods' program that he was leading up, and he had completely inspired the young men. It wasn't a scare straight program. It was an inspirational program where it made a cultural shift in how they thought. And just the people that were in the room and the young folks who had consistently talked about how he had saved their lives. And when I actually saw what he was doing there, you know, I'm a faithful, God-fearing individual. And I said a prayer right there. I said, we need Darryl Woods on the outside. He's doing transformational work on the inside, but imagine how many lives, Jack, he would be able to actually touch if he was out. I didn't think too much about it after I left, but, you know, I did time to time continuously think about Darryl and what I had witnessed and saw on the inside. And a couple years later, Darryl Woods was a free man.
In 2020.
Yes. And I can tell you that Darryl Woods has consistently continued the good work on the outside. And he is an individual that I have on speed dial. And I call Darryl all the time. And he has helped this city in so many different ways and helped the Detroit Police Department and personally helped me where it could be a sticky situation where I need a mediator between community and police, and where he's able, through his influence with young people and all people, he's a connector. He brings folks and people together. And ultimately, that results in peace.
In 2020, he and Mitch Albom started something called Better Together. I think you were involved with the two of them meeting. Talk about what Better Together does for this community.
Better Together, it bridges the gap between young people who typically don't really like the police, don't trust the police, have had a negative encounter with law enforcement, and may have had one of their family members taken to jail by a police officer. And so Better Together is this program that Mitch and Daryl started where it'll host a community event. And you bring in law enforcement officers, Detroit police officers, and they're in plain clothes. And so they're with the general population, young juveniles, and they're having a meal, they're cooking, they're doing an activity. But the young folks don't know the officers are police officers, and so they form a connection. They're talking about sports, they're talking about different types of activities, they're talking about different hobbies, they're cooking, they're doing this activity together. Then at a certain point, Daryl comes in and Mitch will come in and reveal who's who. And the young people at that point, they have already started to like the officers, and it's an exchange of information. So police officers get a chance to learn and see the young folks, young people in a different light, and that connection is there. And so from there, you have a conversation. And so whatever an individual may have thought, and there's been times where one young man said, well, you know, a police officer killed my brother. And I didn't like the police. And the officers say, I remember that incident. And they're able to talk through it and see different sides and different perspectives. And everybody learns from each other. And this right here has a transformative effect when it comes to community, because I will tell you that with credible messengers, and when those young individuals are able to go back and talk to their family and friends and share how it changed their view through Better Together, then it changes the family view. It changes their whole social circle view. And the officers go back, and they're able to go back to the precincts and to the stations, and they talk about it. And so Daryl and Mitch have been doing Better Together for years now, and it has really helped bridge the gap when it comes to taking the Detroit Police Department to the top of the list when it comes to positive relationships between our general public and law enforcement.
We're talking to Chief Todd Bettison. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula. We're with Chief Todd Bettison. From 21 to 24, he was Deputy Mayor of Detroit.
Yes.
He carried Mike Duggan. We'll talk about that in a bit. Okay, let's go back to May 25th, 2020, almost 5 years ago, the George Floyd murder. The incident, Detroit didn't go up in flames. It was spared. Chief, why not?
Well, really, Reverend Wendell Anthony of the NAACP in Fellowship Chapel, he has a saying. He always say, make friends before you need them, Jack. Establish positive interactions and trust with the community before you need it. Oftentimes, I would see chiefs of police across the country, and they'll stand with their mayor, and after that bad incident with civil unrest has happened, you know what they always say, Jack? They'll say, we need to have better relationships with our community. I will tell you that the Detroit Police Department, regardless of what mayor, regardless of what chief, that's been one of the things that we've done and built those solid relationships. And so during the protests, It was people like Daryl Woods. It was people like Detroit 300, other organizations, other credible messengers, where I was able to call upon them during the George Floyd protests, rebellion across the country, and they had influence with other Detroiters as well. And a key component was that Detroiters said, not in our city. So when we had Antifa, when we had the Boogaloo Boys, when we had other, I would say, anarchists from around the country who came, and I'll say this, with peaceful protests, we definitely support that. And we had protests in the city of Detroit, but it remained peaceful because Detroiters and the other folks in southeastern Michigan had agreed that, nah, we don't have that type of issue. We're not going to attack our police department. And it was the community alone. Our officers did amazing work as well. They were out there on the front lines, and we actually walked with the protesters. And for those who wanted to engage in civil unrest, it was Detroiters that stood up and said, you're not going to burn our city. And so that's really the secret sauce and what happened, because the expectation was a lot of folks just said, we know, they remember 1967. They remember those rebellions, those riots, and how the city of Detroit went up in flames. We didn't have in the city of Detroit not one business window broken. We just didn't have that type of destruction in our city. It was very, very few incidents. It was one incident, if you remember, where it was a protester about to break the Nike window downtown in the city of Detroit. And it was a lady in her apartment window, and she was saying, no, don't you do it. Don't do it in our city. Don't do it. And so it was so many different incidents where Detroit made their mind up that no. And as a result, Detroit didn't go up. It didn't burn. And I'll tell you this, Jack, to show my commitment, I was out there on the front lines each and every day. And one of the things that I did with the protesters is I believe I was the first. I was a deputy chief at the time. I took a knee with the protesters. It made national news. But just to be able to show that we believe in freedom of speech in the city of Detroit. We believe in peaceful protests, and we stood with them. We understood that what happened to George Floyd was definitely murder. And we don't support that either. So I actually took a knee in solidarity with the protesters.
All right. From 2021 to 2024, you were the deputy mayor of Detroit, and you reported to a man named Mayor Mike Duggan. Tell us about Mike Duggan.
Oh, my God. Where do I even start? Mayor Duggan is just brilliant, a phenomenal mind, politically savvy, just astute. But more importantly, he really does care. He cares about the citizens of Detroit. He cares about people. And I had the opportunity to be deputy mayor, sitting by his side and have a front row seat to see how his mind works and how pragmatic he is. And that's what it takes to be able to move the needle as far as progress. Mayor Duggan has did amazing things. For example, when he took office back in 2014, we had 45,000 abandoned houses in the city of Detroit. Now we have less than 2,000. Mayor Duggan has taken the city from blight to beauty. The property value has increased tremendously. He has invested in public safety. As a police chief sitting here, I can tell you, in regardless of what chief it was, he invested in giving officers historic raises. The department is at a 99% fill rate based off of Mayor Duggan investing in officers, investing also in technology. And so in every aspect across the city of Detroit, he has made the type of decisions that's going to move the city forward. So just a great individual, and the success that I feel that we're experiencing today is just based off of his leadership, and he gets along with people. He doesn't believe in pointing fingers, and so we have an amazing city council as well, and he works very good with city council, and that's his theme. He was like, we're not going to fight with each other. We're going to turn towards each other so that we can really move the city forward. And so I always mention city council because the mayor can come up with all the ideas, but then we still need the vote of 5 of city council members to appropriate the funding. So I always give shouts out to Council President Mary Sheffield, Council Pro Tem Tate, and the other council members, too, for appropriating the money for my police officer raises and approving my budget.
All right. What's the single biggest thing, Chief, you've learned from Mike Duggan?
Paying attention to details. Just each and every day, just, you know, really on the ground. That's what it's really about. Just getting there, noodling through all of the details. You know, it's always a saying, the devil is in the details. And so if you really want to make sure stuff is done right, the details and hiring the smartest people to be on your team, competent people, because I often say it's not how you do something, it's identifying the right who. When you identify the right who, the rest of it will take care of itself. And so that's what I live by, and I tell my team all the time, it's not how, but really who. And so I have an amazing leadership team, and we're always in search of new talent. And when I became deputy mayor, that's one of the things the mayor said that he tasked me with. Always be on the search for new talent, because Detroiters, they deserve the very best when it comes to people that's leading.
You can never have enough good starting pitchers, huh?
That's right. Yeah, that's right, Jack.
All right. We're talking to Chief Todd Bettison. And while he was deputy mayor, he handpicked 6 violent areas in Detroit. When we come back, we're going to ask him about that. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything Is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything Is Possible, and I'm Jack Crisula.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, "Work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble."
The great Ernie Harwell.
"My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God."
And the voices of our generation.
"I am reassured continuously that His unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis."
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything Is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything Is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club, developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him, and then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything.
Spohom. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Chief Bettison. Chief, while you were deputy mayor, you handpicked 6 violent areas within Detroit.
Yes, sir.
Talk about that initiative.
Yes, this is what I'm very, very proud of, community violence intervention. And so when I was deputy mayor, American Rescue Plan Act dollars actually had an earmark for community violence intervention. So it's a different type of program where you invest in community to help fight violence. And so, you know, you have law enforcement, you have public safety, and Mayor Duggan asked me to create a program to be able to drive public safety, but in a different type of way. And so I sat back And I knew that we had to measure it. And so the first thing was like picking the right area. And so I called up James White, and he was the chief of police at the time. And I said, I need a breakdown in two categories, homicides and non-fatal shootings, of the most violent neighborhoods in the city of Detroit. But rather than look back a year, let's look back 5 years. I want to see the historic hotspots. And so when the report came back, it was a heat map. And what I saw really surprised me, because oftentimes when you're looking day to day or week to week, or you're doing a 30-day period of just from this year compared to last year, you'll start to think that the shootings and the homicides are everywhere. But the heat map showed that they really were in particularly concentration in six areas or six neighborhoods within the city. So I took the map to the mayor and I said, this is what I think I want to do. I would like to have our violence interruption program, community violence intervention, in these six areas. And we could pick between 3 to 5 square miles, and we would only measure these categories here. And if we do a comparison and compare it to the citywide trend, I think that we'll be on to something. And so the mayor said, you know, I think you're on to something. And as a result, that's what we did. And so we drafted it up. We put out a notice of funding availability. We talked about it. The mayor introduced it at the State of the City. We put the contracts out. We had 25 different groups bid on the contracts. Out of the 25, we went through interviews, and we ended up narrowing it down to 6 groups. And so Detroit Friends and Family, Detroit 300, New Air Detroit, and some of the others. And as a result, I can tell you, the results have been amazing. These groups have beat the citywide trend, and it really shows that it's having an impact in the categories of homicides and non-fatal shootings in the city of Detroit.
Okay. From 23 to 24, homicides were down 19%. Shootings were down 25%. Carjackings down 15%. That was like the Detroit Lions the last couple years. So you come in, there's no way you're going to top that. How has the city done in the first quarter now that you're the police chief?
Yes, you know, coming in, having a winning team, and James White did a phenomenal job in the leadership team. And so I came in to stabilize, but I have a spirit of and a philosophy of continuous improvement. So Jack always say that even if we were perfect, even, nobody's perfect, I would still be trying to continuously improve upon perfect, because that's what we try to do. But I will tell you, just answering your question, the mayor in the State of the City reported, and he introduced it as my report card. And so homicides, down 38% compared to the 19%. Shootings down 53% compared to the 25%. And carjackings are now sitting at 56% compared to the 15% prior. And so as of the first quarter, I have a positive report card. Crime is trending down. And we're going to continue to utilize technology. And we have the largest real-time crime center in the country with the best technology. We're going to continue to hire. I'm sitting at a 99% staffing rate, meaning officers who left the department previously want to come back because of the raises that they have. And we just have a great environment. And they say, we want to come back home to the family. And, you know, my community violence intervention, CVI, that's working as well. So things are good in the city of Detroit, and just the overall community involvement, it's a good time to be police chief.
Talk about the job that our first responders do each day, our police officers. It's a ministry for these people.
It's a calling. It is truly a calling. And, you know, we're looking for the folks who actually have the calling. They get up each and every day, put on the uniform, and they go out to provide a safe environment. And so if you ever, and I know some of your listeners have the police scanners, and you watch the television shows and you watch forensic files, at the Detroit Police Department, our officers are all of that. They actually do the job each and every day. And they put their lives on the line. When you call 911, they show up fast. When you commit crimes, with our Project Green Light and all the other things that we have, you know, we're able to close these cases. My homicide rate right now, that's one of the things that I didn't talk about, but our closure rate is over 100%. So we're like at 104% closure rate for homicides in the city of Detroit. So you would say, well, how do you get more than 100%, Todd? Like, how do you do that, Chief? Because they're closing cases from prior years. And so that adds on to this year. So the closure rate this year is over 100%. They're closing cases like you wouldn't believe it. Our non-fatal shooting closure rate is over 100% as well. I just have a great team. I remember back in the day, folks would say, you know, you could, you know, in the city of Detroit, you could get away with murder. Not today, you can't. We're catching you. I got cameras. I got the best technology. And I'm not going to talk about, I'm not going to give the playbook up, you know. But, and we cooperate with so many other entities. So I got a lot of friends. I got the FBI. I got the ATF. I got the U.S. Attorney. I got so many tools in my toolbox. I'll call Sheriff Bouchard in Oakland County. I'll call Sheriff Wickersham in Macomb County. Sheriff Washington, Raphael Washington in Wayne County. We all work collaboratively together to ensure public safety, not only for citizens in Detroit, but for this whole region, because for me, it's just one Detroit.
Everybody that I talk to about Chief Todd Bettison says the same thing. Jack, that man treats everybody he meets with genuine dignity. Chief, how do you do that and why?
Jack, because I really do care. And so in order to do that, just like you care, Jack, they say the same thing about you. So I guess we're brothers. So
you got more hair than I got.
You know, we it's a calling, and you're called to do your job. And you do it so amazingly fantastic. You're just amazing. And it's truly my pleasure to be able to serve the citizens of Detroit. I'm a servant leader. And I really love and like what I do. And so it's easy. That's the only thing I can say. It's just easy.
Chief Todd Bettison, you make it look easy. You're like a swan going along water. But, you know, flapping that we can't see under the water. But thank you for all you do every day. Please keep up the great, great work.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Pasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoken.